There's so much value in just spending some time with the Holy Spirit. And listen, it's hard to take the time in such a fast-moving world that we live in. I am not good at sitting still at all. Like, even on vacation, Tim is like, can we just relax? I'm like, this is relaxing. Let's go. And we have to learn to apply that with the Holy Spirit, because I think there's so many times we don't give him time to just talk to us or speak to us or sing over us or tell us the instructions that we need. And so we just mess it up with our own instructions 10 times. And he's like, well, my goodness, I could have given them to you, but you're too busy. I believe God's going to work on that in us. Amen. Well, I did invite Pam and Cammie, if you guys have anything. And the word I have to share with you is short. It's not long. It's not, I don't know if it's that profound. It was profound for me when God started talking to me this morning about it. You know, there are seasons in life to tell your story. And there are seasons in life to just live your story and not talk about it. And then there are seasons in life when God allows you to bear it all. And those are the bravest moments in life. And I believe that these next few minutes, after what God did last night, that God is going to give us a bear all moment before we celebrate and we have some fun. And we're going to laugh in a minute, because sometimes you have to laugh so you don't cry. But I believe we're going to have a bear all moment. Holy Spirit, help me. So when we were getting ready for this conference, every time I usually tell some story about myself, because that's just the best thing I like to do, because God just keeps my life in some sort of weird chaos, and so it's just fun to talk about. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I don't want to talk about all my trauma anymore. I don't want to talk about anything else. I just hated that I had another surgery right before this conference, because I'm like, God, I'm tired. I mean, I'm grateful he spared my life. I mean, I went through cancer and went through chemo and all that stuff. But I'm just like, God, I don't want to talk about all that. And he said, well, the problem is, Ange, that I need you to talk about it, because you have to tell your story. And if anybody knows me, if you're close to me in the room, or actually even if you're not close to me and you've been to my house recently, as soon as you walk in the door after this surgery, I would have told you, do you want to see my scars? Who in the room has seen my scars? I'm talking about legit scars, like real scars. Men in the room, I'm really sorry, but you know, scars. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody about it, and I was doing all this, and Jasmine's like, quit touching your boobs, Mom. I was like, sorry. I can't feel them, so I don't know. They're all numb. I had breast cancer, for those of you who are new. I'm just, man, if you didn't know that, I just threw you off. Woo, okay. Like, wow, where is she going with this? I maybe came to the wrong conference. So, but if you came in the room, I'd just be like, oh my gosh, you got to see my scars. This is amazing what they did. I was talking to Cammie and them in the car about it. I would have lifted up my shirt in the car if I wouldn't have been driving. I'm like, look at my scars. When we came in the first day, and I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, you got to see how good my scars look. This is amazing. And I shut the office door and I'm like, woo. She's like, oh baby, that's great. And here's the crazy thing. When other people look at my scars, you don't know really what to say. I mean, what do you say? Wow, those look nice. I mean, what do you say? It's very awkward, right? Right, Pam? Oh. it's very awkward. But the thing is this to me, when they had to cut everything and I lost everything and I had no idea if I would ever look normal, my scars are beautiful. And I want to tell you something, and God told me today, I need you to talk about scar tissue. And I'm like, well, that's a fun thing. And I was at the back when Jadeen was speaking, and I was researching some stuff, and because I don't really look up things about scar tissue, and Maria leaned over to give me a kiss, and she's like, what are you looking up? What's wrong? What is wrong with you? What's wrong? Why are you looking up scar tissue? And I'm like, no, I'm going to speak about it. But, you know, it's so funny that when we go through trauma or we have situations that happen in our life, anytime you have a wound that has to be sewn back up, there is always going to be scar tissue. And last night, we were dealing with, the Holy Spirit was dealing with some very open wounds. We think they're sewn up, but they're actually not. They're open. And that's why they torment us, because they're not healing. We just put a Band-Aid on them, but they're not healing. Have you ever had so Jadeen and I, back when you could travel, we went to London to England, and then we ended up in Leeds, and were we in Leeds when this happened? And so we were at a women's conference with Charlotte Gamble. I don't know how many of you have heard her. I love her. So me too. She's like my favorite chick preacher ever. So anyways, we had gone to this conference. And so after the conference, we went to go get something to eat. And it was kind of late. There wasn't a lot open. And we found this one restaurant that was open. And so we went in and we ate. And we were coming back out. And I had on these amazing, awesome red, short boots, suede. Like, kind of like a wine color. They're awesome. They are great. And I love these boots. They're really high. And at that time, it was way more trendy to wear those than to wear your Adidas tennis shoes. And so I'm coming down. There was three steps about like this. And I'm coming down, and my heel caught, like stuck, but the rest of me went forward, and my foot didn't come out of the boot. It was not a good experience, okay? And so I went face down. I had on jeans, but under my jeans, it ripped them just a little bit, but under my jeans, it was a bloody mess on one of my knees because I came down on my knee. And Jadeen's like, oh my gosh, you know, the people come running out of the restaurant. Of course, it's not America, so everybody's not worried about lawsuits, thank God. And so we are down on the floor, and I was down on the floor, so they're helping me up. And of course, I'm like, I'm so embarrassed right now. Like, you know, I don't even feel pain. I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is horrible, it's horrible. I'm alive, so just get me up. And so we got up, and she's like, are you okay to get back? Now, we had like a mile plus walk, maybe a mile and a half back to the hotel. And so, because we didn't have a car or anything, I wasn't driving on the left side of the road. Are you kidding me? I mean, on the wrong side of the car and the road and all that. I'm sorry, Nicola, but I just couldn't do it. And so, so I'm like, I'm fine. Yes, let's go. And I'm in the high heel boots. I had nothing. It was cold outside. Well, to me it was. Never it's cold to Jadeen. And so she was in a sleeveless shirt. Everybody else is in coats. It was crazy. And so I'm just like this for a mile and a half. She's like, Ange, come on, let's stop. We'll get it. We'll get an Uber. We'll do something. And I'm like, I am fine. I just need to get to the hotel. So when I got back, so we started putting stuff on it and band-aiding it. It took that thing like a month to heal. Do you know why? Because I kept it covered up. So if you've ever had an open wound and you keep it covered and you keep it covered and you never let the outside air get to it, it will never scab over and heal. And there are wounds sometimes in us that we leave them open and we're really good at getting painkiller and and all of that kind of stuff and whatever, but it never heals. I still have a horrific scar because I didn't let it heal right. It actually got infection almost down to the bone because I wasn't, I know, I don't need any lessons on how to fix my knee, people, all right? But the point is that I just kept it covered doing what I thought was the right thing to do because it looked so ugly. And when I got back here, it was summer. So I'm always wearing dresses and my knees were exposed and it was so horrible looking. I just kept it covered, 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 covered. So it couldn't heal. And then that's when the infection got in and all that stuff. But once it healed, right, there's still a scar there. So when I just recently, listen, if there weren't boys in here, I would show y'all my scars. I'm being for real. You want to see them? We'll show them to you. I'll show them to you later. So it's the, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, y'all. So I had a mastectomy that cut everything down to the bone because my tumor was pretty big. Then, you know, I had to wait and they put in these little makeshift things. Anyways, I had a reconstruction surgery. And I'm like, yay, this is okay, you know. And they're all saying, you get a new set, but you don't really get a new set when you have no nipples across the middle and it's a scar. It's really not a new set. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. But I felt like God told me to be raw. So I'm going to be raw. Okay? I'm not posting this on Facebook. Oh, actually, it is live on Facebook. But anyways, never mind. Cut the broadcast. I'm going to pull it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't. It's fine. But it's really not a new set, right? So what happened, see what happened was, so I kept getting an infection on the where I had had the cancer. And because I had had radiation, my skin wouldn't stretch. It lost all its elasticity. It was destroyed. And it cannot rebuild itself at that point. When I had radiation, it was burned all the way through to my back. And it was, you know, whatever. It's just a thing. It's a really, really bad sunburn. And so it started, my incision started coming open because my skin wouldn't stretch. So long story short, it got infected. It was all crazy. I went in to see my doctor and she's like, you're going to be in my OR tomorrow. I said, I'm sorry. I have a full schedule this week. That's not going to work for me. So I own a business. Tim is now helping run the church. Like you don't understand. There's just too much going on. There's too much happening. I don't have time to go in your OR tomorrow. And so she was like, you're going to go septic, which I guess means like you could die. And so she was like, I'm not asking you, you know, you will be in my OR. I'm going to figure out where to put you in. I don't even know how I'm going to fit you in, but this is not optional. So last November, they pulled all that out and she just sewed it up, you know, just temporarily. And it looked a hot mess. So on this side, I have this giant boob. And on this side, I have nothing. It's down to the bone. No, it really was funny. I was like, I wish they made a bra for my situation right now. So I ended up getting a prosthesis and all that. And I was wearing that and trying to feel good about myself and all these things. So this surgery they just did, it was kind of the last straw of an option. And they basically cut your back and they bring it around and they use part of your back skin and muscle to rebuild what you don't have. It's an old school surgery. I say that gently, right? Because it's a traditional, it's a very old school traditional surgery that very few surgeons even do anymore. There's only one surgeon that I know of in Pensacola that does it. And she was my surgeon. So it was a pretty horrific surgery. So coming out of that, I didn't know what it was going to look like. I had no idea. I did not realize how difficult it was going to be. I didn't realize how that was a lot of trauma. And so fast forward. So I'm watching these scars, which just are everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. And I mean, if you look at me like this, you would never know I have all these scars hidden underneath all this, right? All this little spank tank top and all that, right? But it doesn't matter because those scars tell my story. Those scars have a story for me. That's way more valuable than saying everything went perfect. So I have this stuff they gave me. It's called Scar Recovery Gel. It's kind of expensive. I was kind of glad they gave it to me. I'm sure they billed somebody for it. And so I put it on every day. Well, poor Tim and me, because he's helping me. And how many can you thank God for a husband who loves you regardless of all your scars? Tim's like, awkward. But as I've been putting this on, what it does is it basically causes the scar to be very minimal, where you can almost see it like it'll be a hairline, but the scar is never going to go away. And there's scar tissue internally, no matter how great the surgeon was, that scar tissue will never go away. How many of you have ever had a surgery and you have scars? You have scar tissue. It never goes away. It never goes away. You can make it look as good as you want to get it to look, and you can get it as minimal, like you'd really have to look to find it, but it's still there. And so God began to remind me, or he began to talk to me. Scars remind us that something has happened in our life. Most of the time, it wasn't a pleasant thing when there's a scar. Most of the time, it takes us back to something that was painful. And listen, scar tissue isn't just physical. Scar tissue is emotional. Scar tissue is mental. Scar tissue, all the things, it becomes this. Listen, God brought to me, and I'm not going to ask anybody, I've heard so many women in the last 6 months that have had miscarriages. You know, every time that happens, even though you dispel that, there is an element of scar tissue. Every time there's something. Every time. And every one of them tells a story. And so God began to take me real quickly, and I'm going to get to these scriptures, and then if y'all have anything, if you don't, it's fine, whatever. I want you to look quickly. I'm going to give you several scriptures. In Galatians 6, Paul said it this way, Galatians 6, 14 through 17. And I'm reading a lot out of the Message because I like to. For my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, I have been crucified in relation to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into the little patterns that they dictate. Woo, that's my favorite line in the Bible right now. Can't you see the central issue in all this? It's not what you and I do. Submit to circumcision. That's cutting. Reject circumcision. It is what God is doing, and he is creating something totally new, a free life. And all who walk by this standard are the true Israel of God, his chosen people. Peace and mercy on them. Listen, the last verse, quite frankly, I don't want to be bothered anymore by these disputes. I have far more important things to do. The serious living of this faith, and I bear in my body scars from my service to Jesus. It's where Paul was boasting about his scars. He was boasting. How many times does Paul talk about all the terrible things that happened to him? That's all he talked about. Listen, blessed be you and your church. And by the way, I'm in prison and I was beaten almost to death and this happened. But God is with you and it'll all be okay because look what I've been through. All Paul could do was tell story after story after story, and he would boast in his scars. He would boast in the things that had happened to him. Because he said, you understand, I went through all of this for him. God allows, how many times have you heard this weekend? God allows the difficult things to come in our life because he wants to produce something out of it. Wow, I'm glad we're inside. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 through 10. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, thank you, Jesus, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that, and he told me my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes on its own in your weakness. And once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap, and I began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness, and now I take limitations in stride. And with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Because after you've gone through the trial, and after you've gone through the thing, and after you've gone through the trauma, and after you've gone through all the stuff, listen, you're going to be different in some way. If you're not different, it probably God's not quite done with that yet. I'm sorry. When we say, otherwise, what would be the purpose of the difficulty? The enemy's just out to get me. He's always out to get you. He doesn't have the power that God has in your life. We give him too much permission. But the truth is, God will allow things in your life. When I tell that story start to finish and all the detail of all of that, I am amazed. I'm like, God, you know, I could be devastated. I could be upset. I could be all these things, but I'm grateful because I'm telling you, I might be walking around like an arrogant mess if God had not done that. I might think that anything I achieve might be because of how I look on the outside. It's quiet in here. Listen, it leaves some scar tissue that remind me, hey, this changed you. Hey, I showed up, remember, when you were in that place and there's a scar there. Hey, I showed up in that moment when that happened. You didn't even realize I was there, but now I've healed it. But I want you to remember what I did. It's the scar tissue. You won't be as flexible to move around as you once were in some areas. You might lose some properties of the flesh that you never thought you could live without. But here it is, what Jesus said. I love this. In Luke 9, he said, if anyone wants to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. That means really trials and trauma and these things come because certain things have to die. Certain areas have to be cut. Certain areas have to be pruned. Certain things have to happen. Because otherwise, you'll stay in this same stuck, mundane place. Never knowing how to survive a trial. Never knowing how to get on the other side of the crisis. So God allows that. So let's remember Jacob. And I'm almost done. Let's remember Jacob. Turn to Genesis 32. Told you I had a lot of scripture. Because God was just showing me thing after thing. But Jacob stayed behind by himself. So Jacob was on his way. He was trying to send gifts to Esau. He was trying to build a bridge there. And he had sent servants on. And he was with his family and all his stuff. And he got all his family in the middle of the night crossed over into the place that they were going. But he stayed behind by himself. Remember I said at the beginning, sometimes we need to just have some moments where we stop and listen and ask God and quit listening to everybody else's opinion. So this is where we were. So Jacob stayed behind by himself, verse 24. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he couldn't get the best of Jacob as they wrestled, he deliberately threw Jacob's hip out of joint. He what? Deliberately. It was on purpose. The trauma was on purpose. The trauma had purpose. The crisis had purpose. The damage has purpose. And he said, the man said, let me go. It's daybreak, Jacob said. Excuse me, the man said, let me go. It's daybreak, Jacob said. And he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And the man said, what's your name? And he answered, Jacob. And the man said, but no longer, your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, it's Israel, God wrestler. You've wrestled with God and you've come through. Somebody shout, come through. Point at somebody and say, you will come through. And Jacob asked, and what's your name? And the man said, why do you want to know my name? And then right then and there, he blessed him. And Jacob named the place Peniel, which means God's face, because he said, I saw God face to face and I lived to tell the story. He wrestled all night with that angel. He wrestled all night until deliberately his hip got put out of joint. And Jacob left that wrestling match with a what? With a limp. The rest of his life. Do you think Jacob was bitter about that limp? Do you think if you asked Jacob about that thing that wasn't right in his body, he would tell you all the things why it was horrible? No, he's going to tell you that thing right there, that limp that you're watching happen, that scar, that's the greatest blessing of my life. How can something horrible be a blessing? You heard Cammie last night. Wrestling with God changed Jacob's identity. That deliberate pain changed Jacob's identity. I can tell you the pain and things I've walked through for years, but especially in these last couple of years, they have changed my identity. I'm a different person. You can ask my husband. He's the closest person to me. Ask Pam. She's told me all weekend. I want to be different. I want my identity to be different. That's some serious rain. Can we just have a moment? God, we don't need paint in the building right now. We're good. It's the wind. There's a wind blowing in the spirit. I don't think anything's by accident ever. It changed his identity. Listen, do you know what Jacob was known for before that? He was known as the one who deceived. He was the one who deceived his brother. He was known as this, his identity was deception. And from that moment and that trauma and that wrestling and that thing, it switched from deception to restoration. His identity changed. His story changed. He had a different story to tell about now. All they talked about was what he did wrong up until that point. But now, something shifted. Can I take you to my last example? Look at John chapter 20. If you don't think God uses scars, John 20 and verse 19. This was after Jesus had resurrected. Like we just celebrated this month. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews had locked all the doors in the house. I love it. The disciples, really, y'all been walking with Jesus for all this time. Lock all the doors. Jesus entered, I wonder how, stood among them and said, peace to you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. See, I'm not the only one who lifted up my shirt and showed scars. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together. Oh, sorry, I read that. So Jesus entered and said, peace to you. And then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you, just as the Father sent me, I send you. Then he took a deep breath and he breathed into them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. And if you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? It's interesting to me that he showed his scars. They believed. He gave them, he filled them with, breathed the Holy Spirit in them. And then he said, hey, don't get offended. So quiet in here. But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples told him, we saw the master. But he said, unless I see the nail holes in his hands and put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room, and this time Thomas was with them. And Jesus came through the locked doors. I love it that he's just so creepy like that. I love it. Stood among them and said, peace to you. And then he focused his attention on Thomas and said, hey, take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, believe. And then Thomas realized he was my master, my God. Jesus' scars had to tell the story so people would believe that what happened really happened. And it was horrific, and it was horrible, and it was grotesque, and it was, I mean, I can't even put words to what they did to Jesus. But he had a plan, and his scars still had to tell that story. And I'm just telling you that when you leave this weekend, your scar tissue is not going to be painful anymore, but it's going to give you a story to tell. That God was there in the middle of it. That God was there when you thought nobody else was there. That God showed up when you didn't even think it was possible for him to show up. I don't know what your scars are. Do y'all have something? Come on. We're very much of a team here. That's what we're going to do. We're teaming.
It's a word. When Angela was talking about how she was showing everyone her scars, and some people were cringing in their seats, like, why is she talking about this in church? And I'm one of those people, if you can't talk about it in church, where are you going to talk about it? And I believe that the reason why some people cringe when she talks about her scars, it's because it causes them to face their own scars. I believe that when we give our testimonies, when we talk about what we have been through, when I talk about my sexual abuse that I went through by my father, that it causes you to face your scars. It causes you to think, me too. It causes you to see that what's in you, what has happened to you, is not for you. When I'm listening to Angela talk about our testimonies, and it brings me to Revelation, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. The words of their testimony are the scars that God has brought you through. That's your testimony. What you have been brought through, what you are going through, what you have been healed from. And what you don't know is someone gave me a word last night and told me that they had seen in the spirit where someone had stabbed me in the back and that it pierced through my heart. And that God had removed that knife, but I was still in pain. So now that the knife is gone, How much longer am I going to let that pain be there before my heart can be healed from that? And so when I tell you your testimony is not for you, your testimony is not about you, your testimony is about who he is. And even in that last passage that Angel was talking about the twin, about Thomas the twin. Well, no, you're just going to have to show me the scars. Because, you know, there are some people who are like, don't show me your trophies until you can show me your scars. And I believe that's what Thomas was doing. But Thomas was a twin. Do you hear the name of his twin? No. Because I believe that was intentionally left out because you could be that twin. Sometimes you need to see for yourself. Oh, okay, I hear your test. I need to see how God has brought you through it. Oh, you're telling me this about you, but I need to see the healing before I step on into the next level that God has brought me to. Your testimony's not for you. It's not about you. It's about him. Don't sleep on your testimony. Do not steal God's glory. Because what the enemy wants to do, and Cammie, even the fact that you were so vulnerable, Angela, the fact that you're so vulnerable, the fact that we're being so vulnerable, the enemy still wants you to silence that because, oh, I don't want more people free. I don't want more people seeing God's glory. So I'm going to tell you today, ladies, do not stop the world from seeing God's glory in your life. Amen.
Listen, I wrestled with God this morning about this because I'm like, God, this is not a very great 3-point message. But I'm just telling you, it's a real place because what God did last night, you've got to know how to go out and use your scars as a testimony, like she just said. What God's done in you this weekend, and I don't know, and maybe some of you, he's still got to do something. He's still got to do something. But I'm telling you, there's something because there's something beautiful about scars that God has been able to heal.
Go ahead. That's what I told you to stand here. I believe that when Jesus looks at his wrists and he sees his scars, I did that for her. This is my testimony of what I did for her. When he looks at those holes in his wrist, I did that for her. She was worth it. She's worth it. She's worth it.
Come on, let's just stand. Come on, never mind, don't stand up. This is what it looks like to be in tune with what God is saying and not trying to have everybody have their perfect message so we can be the next title on the video.
We don't do that. I don't want to wear you out, but just while you were ministering, to look up the word tissue are groups of cells that have similar structure and act together to perform a specific function. Lord, help my vision. Then it goes on to say, groups of tissues make up organs in the body, such as the brain and the heart. You go after the heart to get the head right. The tissues. Now, where are tissues? Underneath the skin. And so even what they're saying here, you've got to understand what's underneath here. Even though the outside of the body maybe has been scarred, that's the flesh. Nobody's touched your spirit. You maybe touched my son, but you didn't touch his spirit. Daddy maybe touched you, took advantage of you, raped you, I don't know what all, but he didn't get your spirit. Because your spirit is perfect and your spirit is clean. And your spirit is whole. And I want to tell you something. No shame. Here's what the enemy does. He wants it to keep hidden. God says, we're going to expose that thing. We're going to bring light in the darkness. It's not to punish you. It's not to condemn you. It's not to shame you. What is done in the darkness will be brought out into the light to heal it. When I confess my sin one to another, it's not to condemn. God says, now I can relate. We can relate to each other because real heals. So there's something about that you have to understand. Even Ezekiel, here's what I just want to challenge you to do. You got to call things not as though they were. So here's the thing. Even the dry bones, the valley of the dry bones, when he began to prophesy to them, they got tendons. They got tissue. They got cells. They got muscles. They got blood. Then they got skin, and then they stood up, but they still were not a vast army. Until God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath. And the four winds came together, and he began to prophesy to the breath, and then they came alive. I'm saying to you right now, whatever the tissue is, whatever happened to your child, whatever happened to you, you got to prophesy to the breath. You got to breathe again, woman of God. You got to call things not as though they were. Jaden Craig can too. You will be a prophet to the nations. Jaden Craig can too. You will rise from this. And God will use it. And all the boys that have been touched by another man, you will save them. Jaden Craig can too. You will live and not die. You got to prophesy to that thing. Prophesy to that thing. Amen. Amen. So we got some prophesying to do. And you know what I love about Ezekiel? It said there was a rattle. There was a sound. There was a rattle. There was a rattle. There was a rattle. Church, we're getting rattled in a way that we've never been rattled before. Satan, you're not going to rattle me no more with the sounds of anxiety. You're not going to rattle me no more. You know the song by Elevation? The rattle. I hear a rattle. I hear a rattle. Church, we got to prophesy. We got to prophesy. Amen? Amen.
Woo. Speak it.
Can you play the song Rattle by Elevation and turn it up? Can we just prophesy? She just said, let's just do an altar call. There, it's got to be a different sound. Last night there was a sound of almost just sorrow because we were grieving. We were hurt. We were hurt. It's okay to hurt. But now we're declaring war. We're going to take back my son. I'm going to go in the enemy's camp. And I'm going to take back my innocence. I'm going to take it back. So we're going to prophesy. Prophesy. It's up to you. Not me. I ain't going to prophesy over you. God says, breathe. Stand up. Spread out.
Get ready to prophesy. Listen, when Angela thought that that was rain that was coming, that wasn't the rain, that was the wind. That was the rattling. I told you all that God has strategically placed you all here to be under that rattle. God doesn't misuse anything that he's doing. There's nothing too small in God. He's letting you know, I am bringing a rattle to you ladies. We are going to prophesy. We are going to, this dry bones will live. We are under his rattle. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, don't stay in your seats, ladies. Don't stay in your seats.
Friday's disappointment. It's Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again.
Come on, girls. You gotta get some warfare up in your bones. Woo!
I'm gonna live.
Come on and prophesy. Come on and prophesy.
This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Come on, I'm telling you, there is breath in the room. There is breath in the room. There is breath in the room. Woo!
Miracle.
don't understand when they wrote this song. They didn't write this when things were great. They wrote this song at the height of when we were losing people in COVID. In fact, Stephen Furtick was concerned about putting this song out because he didn't want to hurt people's feelings who had lost loved ones. But he was so moved in his spirit that he said, I hear a sound. It was just beating inside of him.
Anybody here ready to give God glory?
Come on, you get your sound back. Get your sound back.
Did anybody come ready to testify of the Lord's goodness?
Come on, we're going to do this again. Come on, here we go. Oh, what's the devil going to do with a bunch of women that says, open the grave, I'm coming out. I hear the sound. I need all the young people to come here right now. Come here. Come here. If you're under 20, get up here. You're under 25, get up here. Come on, I need you to take one of these. Don't be shy. And I need you to come up here. Because I hear the sound of the next generation saying, hey. Hey, if you want to be up here, come on. Come on. I hear the sound of the next generation.
Surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you?
Come on! The devil just thought he cut off the next generation. But let me tell you what's about to happen. Dry bones are about to live again.
Since when has impossible ever stopped
you? I need you to think about what you're saying. Since when is impossible I've ever stopped God?
This is the sound of dry.
Y'all need to come a little closer. Y'all too shy. Come on, ladies. This is the sound of the next generation. Look at her.
I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Come on, guys. Come on, girls. Do it for everyone in your generation.
Run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah.
want you to get ready because we're going to declare it. We're getting ready to declare it. We're going to declare live over our homes. We're going to declare live over our cities. We're going to declare live over our state. We're going to declare live over our government today. We're going to declare live in our nations of the world. Let me hear you.
Some things that are going to live. And Gina just came up and told me, and she said, when we get a breakthrough like this, the one thing the enemy will come and try to steal is he'll come and get you to start complaining and murmuring and speaking what was. And I'm telling you, you've got to guard your mouth. Do you know the only thing in your body that cannot be scarred is your tongue? Did you know that? Your tongue cannot have a scar. Because there's life and death in your tongue. And God will use it. I'm telling you, there is something that we've got to guard on the way out of this place today. You got to guard it. Because we can command it to live, but we need to keep it alive. You got to prophesy breath every day, not death. Breath. Did you get that? You better prophesy breath, not death. To your situation, you better prophesy breath, not death, to your marriage. You better prophesy breath, not death, to your body, to your relationships, to your womb, whatever it is, you better prophesy breath, not death. Woo! Somebody shout breath. There's power in it. And I believe there is something coming on this generation. I believe there is something shifting. And I believe that you guys are about to catch the wind of the Spirit like you've never caught it before. And I know there's more of you than are up here, but I'm telling you, there is something that's shifting over this generation. The next generation. The next generation. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us usher it in and not kill it. Help us usher it in and not kill it. Jesus, give us grace. Breathe in us. Give us your words. Give us your heart, God. Give us your heart, God. Ah, oh, we speak life and breath. We prophesy out of our mouth what you say, what you declare, what you do, who you are. Woo! I'm telling you, don't be surprised what God does when you leave here. Normally, I'm all like, be careful, don't let the devil steal it. That's not going to be the problem. It's what you do with it that matters. It's what you and I do with it that matters. Whew. Well, I don't really know what to do. I'm kind of stalling and asking the Holy Spirit to talk to me, but I don't even know. But I'm telling you right now, God is in full control if you want him to be. That's all I know. That's all I know. Yes. Come on. This is Bethany Sprouse. She's a worship leader and leader in the house in Little Rock.
Yes. Yes. Most of y'all know that. I just want to use this opportunity. I feel like this is an atmosphere where to declare things. And I'm all about action. I'm not about just saying it like you said earlier. And so I'm just going to be transparent with you guys right now. And the last few years have been very challenging for my family, and we've faced some really difficult things. And my son, my 10-year-old son, is going through a lot emotionally right now. And so I'm going to take the opportunity in this atmosphere full of other mothers, people full of faith, to declare over my son. Father, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim life over Brody Sprouse, God. I proclaim, Brody, you will live and not die, that you will fulfill the calling of God on your life. Lord, I just declare depression has to leave his body in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just declare hopelessness has to leave him in the name of Jesus. Spirit of suicide, you may not have my children in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Brody, you will be free. In the name of Jesus, you are free, Brody Sprouse. No more will the enemy rob you of your calling. No more in the name of Jesus. You will be the man God has always intended for you to be. That the word of truth will flow from your lips just as God said it would be. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, you are broken off of my son. Nightmares, you are broken off of my son. Spirit of God, come and invade him at his father's house right now. In the name of Jesus. Invade his father's house in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Who else is going to fight for our children if not us? Come on. Every scar, every wound, like she talked about. I know everything that I have faced in my 41 years of life. Every hardship has been for the glory of God. Even when I was running from him, he saved me. He protected me. Come on. So the devil can't have my babies. He can't have my babies. He can't have my babies. I refuse. I refuse. Yes, can sorrow come? Can we embrace feeling scared and hopeless? We can. But we gotta let that tenacity and zealousness rise up inside of us. That says, no more. No more. Devil, you can't have my kids. You can't have my son. You can't have my son. My son will not be 10 years old talking about suicide. In the name of Jesus, he is free. In the name of Jesus.
Come on, if you're a mother in this room and you are believing for your child, I know Cammy has alluded to it a couple times, but if that is you, I want you to come to the front. I know we're supposed to stop, and I'm sure there's a food truck out there, but they're all right. If you're a mom and you're believing exactly what Bethany just declared, what you heard Cammy declare, I'm going to have Cammy come release something over you. How many of you moms up at the front, and Dawana just came and shared this, but I want to know how many of you at the front, sometime in all the crazy of being worried about your kids, there's been abuse involved somewhere. Domestic abuse, sexual abuse, something, either to you or to them. God's going to heal it. God's going to heal it. Not just heal it, but stop it in the that generational curse. Where's Cammy? I want her to just pray over you. Come on, raise your hands if you're at the front. There's anointing for moms right now. There's anointing for generations. There's an anointing for your children. I'm telling you, you're going to take authority right now in the spirit. And I'm telling you, the enemy is going to be stopped in his tracks in this moment. On this random Saturday morning that went a little crazy, I'm telling you, you're about to stop the enemy in his tracks. Do it.
I believe that there are some ladies in here who are not up here because you do not have children yet, because of your fear of having children, because of your fear of what is happening to you, of that cycle repeating right now. So we're also speaking to you. We're speaking to those that have not been born yet, the unborn, the fear of getting pregnant, the fear of having a child. All of that is going to break off right now too, in the name of Jesus.
Right now, I just hear in my spirit where there's been a riot. There's been a riot. There's been a riot in the mind. Now we'll be replaced with the rattle, the rattle, the rattle, the rattle. Our country's been in a riot. Our country's been in a riot. Profanity, rioting, warring against flesh and blood. Oh, but this ain't flesh and blood. Nope, 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 nope. It's principalities and darknesses of the air. And right now, in the name of Jesus, where your son and your daughter's been rattled in their mind, the heart's been rattled in a way, and the enemy, it's almost like a rattler on the end of a rattlesnake, and you hear the rattle, and the enemy is trying to rattle you, mama, with the sound that your child's going to be taken, and your child's going to live for the world, and your child's going to live in the world. But right now, mama, I want you to get the sword of the Spirit out. We're going to cut the snake's head off. And then you're going to take your heel and we're going to stomp on the rattle. Because even when you cut the head off, you can still hear the rattle. So right now what we're going to do, we're going to get dressed for war with the full armor of God, and we're going to call the prodigals back home. No more prodigal. They will be a beloved son. They will be a beloved daughter. Father God, pour out your spirit on all flesh. Make your sons and your daughters prophesy, not protest. Prophesy, not protest. Prophesy, not profanity. Rattle them, God, in a way right now. Wherever they're at, Father God, I send the Holy Spirit to convict them with the hot heaping coals of fire upon their head. And we call the prodigals home right now. Right now, that prodigal is turning into the beloved. What I want you to do, place your hands on your head. Right now, we put the helmet of salvation upon the son and upon the daughter. We command in the name of Jesus, they got the mind of Christ. They're not going to think like the world. They're going to think like Jesus. They're going to have wisdom and knowledge. They're going to hear the sound of the Lord. They're going to hear the voice of God. We shut their ears off to the voice of the enemy. We come against deception and the lie of the enemy. We command that they will see what God wants them to see. That they're blinded to the enemy's schemes. That their vision is being healed in Jesus' name. Right now, take your hand and put it on your chest. If we can bring the sound down just a little, just a little. Right now, we put on the breastplate of righteousness on these children. And we command every fiery dart of the enemy to go back where it came from. We command the fiery dart right now of the enemy to be broke. Because when an arrow is broke, it has no more power. We command every word curse that's come at them to judge them, persecute them, criticize them, rumors about them, gossip about them. We send it back to the people who sent it in Jesus' name. That those fiery darts will not penetrate their heart. We set a guard on their heart right now in the name of Jesus. Where they've been scarred, we remove the scar with the guard. The guard, is set upon their heart in Jesus' name. Their heart is being healed in the name of Jesus. With a breastplate of righteousness, they will be right and not wrong. They will do right and not wrong. They will do right. They will be in the right and not in the wrong. They won't be deceived in the name of Jesus. They will walk on the path
because of the feet of the gospel upon them. They will walk the straight and narrow path in Jesus' name. They will not go against with the wide path in Jesus' name. Their footsteps are being ordered and directed by the Lord in Jesus' name. Around their waist, come on, mama. Around their waist is the belt of truth. They're going to walk in the truth. They're going to hear the truth. They're going to be true to the call on their life. They're not going to do opposite of the call on their life because they're girded with the belt of truth. And because of that belt of truth from the waist down, they will not enter into any relationship that is not of God. They will not give up their purity. They will save themselves for who God has chosen for them to be. They will marry the right spouse. I break right now that soul tie. I come against that demonic relationship. I come against the spirit of Jezebel. I come against the spirit of Ahab. You won't have our sons and daughters. And in this hand, we take up the shield of faith. We're not afraid. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And it's not by my might, mama. It's not by my power. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. And now we got on our feet peace. A peace that passes all understanding. We're not worried. We're not afraid. We don't listen to the voice of the enemy. And right now, take your heel and crush that rattle. No more will you lie to me about my child. Who God said he would be in my womb, who she would be in my womb. That's who you're going to be. Nothing less, nothing more. Amen. Right now, we apply the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood of Jesus on them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Satan, you can't cross the bloodline. You can't cross the bloodline. Amen. Amen.
She had to do that because you need to know how to pray like that every day. Not a moment on a Saturday. That's an everyday prayer for you. Do y'all have anything you want to declare? Come on.
As I was holding this, I just felt like this. The Lord showed me this is a war stick. And as I was over there worshiping, it's one thing, but when they gave me this in my hand and I just started doing this, there was something that came over me to just stomp the enemy out of your life. And y'all are watching us, but it's one thing when you grab it and you do it yourself and do it for yourself. So if there's somebody out there that just wants to, it's the enemy is lying to you and he's holding you back, come grab this for me and just start doing it yourself. If you feel like that's you, just start stomping the enemy out of your life. Just stomp him out. He doesn't belong there.
Woo! Come on, just go ahead.
I'm gonna tag along with her because it's the same. The Lord was just showing me that as sisters in Christ, we will fight together and we will stand together. As the warriors, we will fight. And so, as sisters, as here, as in order to step to the next generation, we'll have to speak up. And we have to pray and prophesy. So as sisters, I want y'all to go pray for them and stand against them. And we're going to fight with them together. Because that's what the Lord is telling me, is that we fight. And if we don't fight together, then we're falling apart.
All right, we're going to do that in a minute.
A lot of people don't really know me, but I am not the type of person to come and grab this microphone. I have never been this type of person. I have always felt anxiety, and I've always been shy, and I've never spoken a word, but I feel like God is breaking off anxiety in this generation!
I hear the sound! I hear the sound! I hear the sound! I hear the sound!
This is not the the end of this atmosphere. I have prayed for so long for a revival in this church. And I feel like we are just skimming. We're just skimming of what it's going to be like. And God is saying He is not done with Jubilee. He is not done with Jubilee. Breaking off every curse in this church.
Hannah, what it's in me, it's in you. What it's in me, it's in you. What it's in me, it's in you. The master passes, honey. What it's in me, it's in you. What it's in me, it's in you. What it's in me, it's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you.
This, they're waiting on us. We heard this yesterday. They're waiting on you, and you're waiting on them. And God's like, we gotta pass it. We gotta pass it. Quit talking about it. Quit waiting around for it. We gotta pass it. Anybody else want to share? We're gonna go pray.
Angela asked us if we had anything to declare for our generation. So I declare that my generation is going to be the generation that wins people's souls through love. We are going to love people, and they're going to see us loving and ask why. Why can we love people like this? Because we have God's love running through us, and we are going to be the generation who breaks the cycle of church hurt. We are not going to send people away or make them feel like they can't come here. We are going to make sure that people know the church is where they can come to be loved and feel the love of God.
When Angela came in, she told us to pray and ask the Holy Spirit what we were supposed to declare over our generation. I just saw God raising up an army. Out of the grave, and I saw Him breaking off every single generational curse and every lie that people speak over my generation. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. God, the generational curses cannot stand in this house. They cannot stand. They stop with me. I break the generational curses in my family. They stop with me.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Come on, and then we're going to pray.
Scripture over you girls. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan underneath your feet. Now listen. There's a difference. Big difference. Gigantic miles east to the west between perfection and excellence. God doesn't want you perfect. He wants you excellent. He doesn't want perfection. He wants it because He's the only perfect one. You can have perfect practice. You can never have perfection. So remember, excellence is where you are in and where you are going. In Jesus' name.
I'm telling you, I know we're taking a minute, but here's the thing. We just do life with no meaning all day long. Let's just have a moment. Leia, come here. Sophie, come here. Sophie and Sophie. This is Sophia and Sophia. And Leia.
What do you want to say? That I love Jesus. Jesus is the only one we worship, and we don't worship any other idols.
All right. They were just dying to say something, and we shut the mouths of babies too much. So right now, what you guys felt in the spirit, what you guys felt about this fight, and you felt y'all are supposed to go pray. So if you're under the age of 20, 25, I want you to go. I want you to grab one of these people from the next generation. I want you to go pray for them. Go. Take your stick. Take your armor. I don't know. Take whatever you got. Take it all. Come on, just go pray. Just go pray, and then we're going to dismiss in a minute.
make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
Come on, he's still moving in here.
This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the face that makes me walk again.
Open up.
Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
This is the sound.
This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
All right, I'm just gonna let them pray. So I'll tell you what, we had, like we said earlier, we have a celebration planned just to hang out with old, young, new, whatever. And we're just going to spend some time. How many of you are hungry? See, some of y'all aren't even hungry. You're like, I'm not even hungry. I just want Jesus. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. So in just a minute, you can go ahead and kind of start making your way back when you're done ministering, when you're done worshiping. All right, we're not going to shut everything down, but we're going to just begin to transition. And listen, we want you to hang around for just a few minutes. Don't leave. We got a couple of fun things we're going to do. So just hang out with us. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you. Cammy will pray for you. Pam will pray for you. Anybody in this room who knows Jesus can pray for you. And we're just going to go out with a shout. We're going to go out on this high note. We're going to go out at this place where it's like, God, we are victorious. God, we've already won. Somebody say, I win. Say it again, I win. Point at somebody and say, you win.